This conversation is different from earlier conversations in the series. We are exploring what happens as we experience a felt sense. This month, Ruth Rosenblum is sharing her process.
So, we can start either from, where you are this moment, or from any memories you have of, a recent felt sense experience that you want to share.
So give me a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's anything in particular that I want to share. I think one of the most, sort of with that whole sense of what felt sense and movement feels like.
Great.
And what it's unique. It's not like anything else I can describe well.
Yeah.
Except a kind of those moments in creative work that feels a bit, that's like an aha.
Mm-hmm.
But even those, it's not the felt sense work.
Yeah.
It feels, first of all, it has a different kind of meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Like a meaning becomes, emerges. And
yep.
The experience always feels multidimensional.
Mm-hmm. So, I want to share with you what I'm noticing is it feels like we're talking about the felt sense in a felt sense way.
Yes, that's right. Which is, I don't know how else to talk about it.
That's beautiful. That's perfect. This feels really beyond wonderful because it's not, an object of ordinary reality you point out and you say, okay, this is a chair. But even those objects, in focusing, we pay attention to how the meaning evolves and flows and don't take it for granted. So it feels very nice that we're right in the middle of doing that.
Well, oh good. There's, I just finished with a client, so I'm already kind of in a focusing context or field, I should say, even though it's not necessarily a whole felt sense piece. But it's like a field.
Yeah.
And felt sensing is the miracle for me, this experience, is this sense of multidimensionality and time.
Mm-hmm.
Impression. I don't even know if that's the right word. But the sense of the fullness of the moment, and that moment including certainly including the past and perhaps also including the future.
Yeah. So you talked about the multidimensionality, and there's something about the fullness of the moment. And the fullness, not just being the present, but also the past and the future in some way.
Possibly the future. I'm not as certain about that. The future in that in the felt sense and in the shift, one is already feeling a movement forward. So in that way, it has a future sense to it, a future feel.
Yeah.
Does that make
yeah.
sense?
That's kind of the dot, dot, dot. So we're
yeah,
aware of
yeah.
the dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, that's right. And the multidimensionality feels like I'm getting it on, I often talk, think about chakra work as, have this image of like a prism, and so the light comes in and then it gets splayed out into the prism.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And so then you have a vibration of blue and a vibration of red and da da da, right? You have all those colors. And in the chakra world, it's like, oh, so this is how this gets lived out on the emotional plane. Oh, this is what it's looking like on the physical survival plane. Oh, this is what it feels like on the intellectual plane. Oh, this is what it's like on the psychological.
Mm-hmm.
Sense of, oh, right, I see it all.
Yeah, so it's like the prism that deconstructs all the different colors or all the different planes in which it plays out.
Well, it's like I can, it's the, when I'm working with the felt sense of something and something then shifts there, that kind of aha that we talk about,
mm-hmm.
Feels like that's the experience of the aha for me, that it's suddenly this fullness of dimensionality and time and meaning.
Yeah. So the aha moment of the felt sense is like seeing the whole of the prism, all the different levels, and
of this particular thing that I'm with, you know,
yeah.
Focusing.
Yes. So of that thing, and feeling, in a way, getting in that moment a sense of all these different levels.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So it sounds like very much like the experience of enlightenment in Buddhism.
Yeah. Well, I think it's the closest thing I know to enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a very, I mean, it's not a word I use.
Mm-hmm.
But I am enlightened in that moment.
Yeah, and I was responding, you know, to just share with you my process. Is I noticed, you know, that I picked up the quality of energy, enjoyment, you know, it's hard to find the right words for it, but some uplifted quality of your voice as you were describing seeing the prism and all of it. And I let it resonate with me to see what it brought.
Mm, lovely.
So that's how I got to that idea.
Oh, well, I really appreciate that. That's a huge contribution to me.
Mm.
To hear it, I never... Yeah, it's really a wonderful image. Right, there's a kind of enlightenment in that moment.
Yeah.
And that happens. So one of the first times, I mean, I think that first weekend that I did focusing,
mm-hmm.
Mary Hendricks and training, I had a very deep process, and very interesting because it was like really tracking something here.
Mm-hmm.
But I began with a kind of in that exercise, I decided to begin with some kind of a pain I was having in my back.
Yeah.
And so I was focusing on that and doing whatever I was doing in that focusing, and suddenly I started thinking about this dream I had had that had to do with a a complicated dream about learning how to fly and being afraid to.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was talking about the dream, I suddenly had this whole sense of something opening in my back, in the places that I have sort of chronic pain, and just this sense of wings. I just had suddenly this image of wings.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Thought, wow, like, what is that? And my back, the pain in my back released.
Okay, so I want to just stay a little slower. You're describing how in that first session of focusing, you were paying attention to both the pain, the physical pain in your back,
right,
and that dream of, you know, learning and something about learning and not quite knowing too, or something like that.
Yeah.
And then as you were doing that, you experienced something in your back that was a sensation. And together,
well,
go ahead.
Yeah, so there was this beginning focusing on the pain in my back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I got to the dream. It just sort of came up, and so then I started talking about the dream.
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt, yes, the sensation, like the shift in my back.
Yeah, but so that was in your back something that you would have described as a physical sensation?
Oh,
but,
absolutely.
And as you felt it, or soon afterwards, or about the same time, came also the image.
Yes. Yes, this image of wings. And I started to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like, oh, there is just so much about my how can I say this now? There was this whole sense of the kind of restriction that I live with,
mm-hmm.
and that is held in my back, and this sense of release, expansion, and wingedness. I wasn't flying, but there was this sense of, oh, what it is to be or to have wings.
Yeah.
The possibility of being winged, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was extraordinary for me.
Yeah. So it just, from that moment of having the sensation in the back, that sensation almost immediately triggered a wealth of images and meanings.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right. So I was hooked.
Mm-hmm.
And I was finding words to say about this.
Yeah.
I wasn't feeling like a totally crazy woman.
Mm-hmm.
So what a relief that was.
So again, I want to stay with that a little bit. You say, I was not feeling like a totally crazy woman.
Yeah.
And so again, part of that experience is to have, the acceptance of that kind of state, that kind of world, that kind of space, where things can happen that in ordinary conversation would be a little off the wall.
Yeah, and I really am loving the way you're describing all of it, Serge.
Hmm.
This, I'm so appreciating, that of, you know, the breath of the the dimensionality of it all.
Mm.
And the safety, the acceptance of that, and that this is not, an ordinary state.
Yeah.
You know, there are moments, it's not an ordinary state, and, I think the thing that one of the things that most touched me in that first day with Mary Hendricks was a kind of the deep knowing and acceptance that experiencing is always more than we can ever say.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was so simple. But it just opened, it was like, yes, of course, which is why I always have had difficulty with words.
Mm-hmm.
And have always felt that words diminish my experience.
Yeah, so there was an experience in and of itself that was very profound, but it was also an experience that provided some kind of a resolution or affirmation or validation to something you had before about that difficulty with words.
Yes, it was like, oh, she's speaking what I know.
Yeah.
And then to be offered a process where one can access the complexity of experience and meaning was like, you know, this was heaven sent.
Mm. Yeah.
This was just heaven sent.
So I'm responding to hearing a sense of gratitude, of feeling moved, and so that is, you know, very deeply associated with a sense of focusing at that emotional quality.
Oh, I don't know what I was about to leave the field of mental health, and a friend of mine said, just take this class, see if it'll help. See if you can find a way of staying in it.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think I wept through half of the first weekend of just ingratitude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So as I'm following you, what's coming up for me is a sense of that space of the felt sense of focusing, of that kind of exploration, of that kind of paying attention to a different way of sensing and going around, is like a home, and it's like finding the home that you lost or didn't know you had, or kind of a homecoming.
Right. It was definitely a homecoming. And the other homecoming for me has been the Lynn's work, the relational analytic work, because the writings on the intersubjectivists were held that same quality of the more.
Mm-hmm.
And it brought in the relational piece that focusing partnership doesn't hold so much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let's stay there in a way, in the, if you want, in light of this knowledge,
mm-hmm.
the relational part that you have gotten to deepen, in a way, what does it bring to your experience of the felt sense? For instance, now as we are in this space, what is the sensing of the relational aspect?
Mm. Lovely question. So I I can feel my appreciation and sort of some surprise. I'm not exactly sure why, but a surprise with with the exactness of your responses. And my knowing that someone else would respond differently.
Mm-hmm.
Not worse or better or anything, just differently.
Mm-hmm.
And just really a deep sense of appreciation here for the quality of your reflections and questions.
Yeah. So, you know, I want to share that I also feel a sense of feeling moved as this is going.
Mm.
And the words or the sense that comes to me as you're saying what you just did is words like, okay, so this is this person at this moment. So it's one moment that's mm-hmm. very specific, and one person and a moment in time. You know, it's not general, it's not replaceable.
Right.
You know, something that feels very intensely of the unique part of it, but without a sense of the poignancy of not enough time, but a sense of appreciation for what's very unique.
Yes, and that word unique, when Mary would use words like complexity and intricacy and the uniqueness, it was such relief for me. This is a kind of living in the focusing world, or in a focusing session, is a kind of enhanced livingness in a moment, and it is unique. There is no cookie cutter anything. There is not a theoretical model of the nature of the mind or a psychological model or whatever that I am having to bring to my listening to the other, to my being with the other. And that just, you know, it was like coming out of prison. You know, I wasn't imprisoning myself then, and I wasn't going to be imprisoning my partner or my client. You know, in some fitting in way.
Yeah. So here, what comes up for me is a sense of, in a way, letting go of trying to define either focusing or felt sense, and getting into just the enjoyment of a space, a state, you know, that is the state or the space that we reach when we do focusing, on where we listen this way, or when we go inside that way.
Right.
Or something like, in a way, a sense of this is where I want to live instead of the prison. Or compared to this space, so much feels like, so much of ordinary way of thinking can feel like a prison.
I think that that I don't have to be in a prison. I think that's what you said as your second offering there. You know, as we're speaking right now, I just got the flash of that wingedness again. And there's a freedom in this work to really, like, like to enter into a kind of a fullness, and that fullness, and open to that fullness entering, entering you. You know, when we talk about felt sense as the whole of something, to really take a breath and to invite the experience of the whole of something.
Yeah.
Is really, you know, I don't understand it intellectually. What do, what the hell does that whole of something? You know, I never get it. And, but when I say, okay, you know, I'm going to, you know, okay, so what's the whole of that? And that's that moment of miraculous emergence that there's, oh, that something really does come up there.
Right,
that,
right.
That is a greater sense of the multidimensionality of the experience.
So it's in the action. It's not in the thinking. It's not in the reasoning. But in a way, as you say or I say, I'm inviting the whole of this to come up. That is an attitude that makes it possible to start feeling, sensing the world in a certain way.
It's an attitude and it's an intention. You know, for me the three areas in my life that I practice, I would say, that I have practices, is a focusing practice, a psychotherapy practice, and a Jewish mindfulness meditation practice. And those are the things I practice, and those are the things I teach. Excuse me one second, I'm just opening a door. It just got very warm.
So it's about these three areas of practice and intentionality.
Right. And so, you know, having the kavana in Judaism, there is this word kavana, which means intention. What's the kavana you bring to the prayers? What's the kavana you bring to your particular action that you're taking in some way? And so there's this sense of when I say, okay, let me, you know, I'm just going to sit and invite the felt sense, the whole, whatever that really means, whatever that is, this whole sense of something. And then there is this moment of that fullness and multidimensionality, and your word enlightenment came up. And that sense of beingness, kind of a full beingness. And one of the names of God in the Jewish tradition is not a pronounceable name. It's the four letters. And you know, those four letters have no vowels. So this Yud Hey Vav Hey that somehow is often translated as Yahweh, but can't be really spoken because there are no vowels, is the word to be. And it includes the future tense and the past tense. So when Moses says, and who, at the burning bush or whatever it is, and Moses says to the divine, and who shall I say sent me? And the answer of the divine is these four letters, which basically says that often gets translated as I am that I am.
Mm-hmm.
Really means I am that I was that I am and I am becoming.
Mm-hmm.
Verb, right? And so the teachers talk about God as the foundation of beingness. And I think in those moments of deep felt sensing and felt shifts,
mm-hmm.
there is the closest thing to kind of a full beingness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So that...
like it's a path to that kind of full beingness and having a sense of this largerness. And I think that's what Jean was saying. We know that focusing can take you to the door that opens onto spiritual experience.
Mm-hmm. But what I'm hearing you say, it's actually that it is a spiritual experience in the sense that it is an experience of a fullness and of being in touch or of being more than just a limited little self.
Yes. Yes, there's a largerness. Yeah. Yeah.
This is part of the Focusing Conversations series of the Focusing Institute, hosted by Serge Prangle. All contents are protected by copyright. You can find other such conversations on our website at focusing.org/conversations.